Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Roundtable Sports Podcast. I am your host, John Newman, and today I am flying solo on another episode of the show by myself. Make sure to subscribe and join the discussion. Become a part of the network, so to speak, by joining the discussion over at Twitter. At Talk More Sports on Twitter is where you can find us there. Today's episode is being recorded live on YouTube for those people that like to view and watch podcasts while they are going on. But, you know, the video is not an aspect of the podcast that I really am focused on. I'm definitely more focused on the audio. So today on tap, we have the UFC fight night between Dern and Yan Chanyan. I believe I'm saying that last name correctly. I have it euphonized out somewhere. I think that's the right word. Vocalized out. However, the vocalized spelling is somewhere on either of these pieces of paper that I got here for show notes. As far as this past weekend in sports goes, there was no UFC, but there was the Friday night top-ranked boxing event in which Shakur Stevenson defended his title. So there is, another American dominating in that sport. You like to see that coming from where I come from, definitely, especially. So shout out to Shakur Stevenson for getting that done. But anyways, that's not really my focus. That's not my favorite sport to watch either. It's kind of, I don't know. It's I'd much rather watch mixed martial arts, and that's what today's episode is focused on. My Kansas City Chiefs lost this past weekend. Not fun to lose, especially not fun to lose to an Indianapolis Colts team like they did. Just because Mahomes played so well in the first 2 weeks, he's kind of going to be immune to any of the criticisms this week in terms of, other teams' fans being able to get into our team's head. I do, since I'm on video, want to say, fuck this man right here. Brett Favre, fuck Brett Favre for taking those people's money and saying he was going to do this, that, and the other and help the community and all this. Fuck Brett Favre. He's a piece of shit. Also, fuck Roger Goodell. We already did that podcast, though. Where else was I about to go? Yes, the Mizzou game, of course, that ended so badly. And then Luther Burden decides to remove all affiliation with Mizzou and his athletic career from his Instagram profile. Very cryptic. Not much is known there about what's going on with Luther Burden. But the Mizzou Tigers were playing the Auburn Tigers down in Alabama this past weekend. They got into overtime 14-14, and a freshman running back fumbled the ball out of the end zone on what would have been the game-scoring touchdown. Instead, it was a touchback, and the Auburn Tigers were able to defeat the Missouri Tigers 17-14 in overtime. So that sucks, but that followed by the Chiefs losing really was having me hated. But my guy Aaron Rodgers pulls, his defense really is what did it. The Green Bay Packers defense, huge shout out there. They were the ones that were making the plays. That linebacker who leaped up and grabbed that, tried to swat that out of the air. That was sick as fuck at the very end against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers are they're one of those wishy-washy teams in kind of the way that, like, just because the aura, just because Tom Brady, they might have a shot, come playoff time. But I don't think they're even close to what, you've got with the Rams over there in the NFC. But the NFC is just not the same. They don't have a team like the Ravens. They don't have a team like the Chiefs. And they don't have a team like the Bills, really, in the NFC this year. So I guess that's what I got for the intro, what I got for football. Lamar Jackson is leading everybody in that rating category, has the best touchdown to interception ratio, 10 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. You know, his yardage is 8.5 yards per attempt. That puts him above both Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, and I would say he's a dead lock for being the favorite at this point in the season to win the MVP at the end of the season. He's probably the favorite at this point. I haven't looked too far into that, but since we're on to that train talking about odds, let's talk about a little three-fight parlay that I got my eye on for Saturday's fight card. And kind of rapid fire, but I came up with this parlay because these are guys that I'd seen fight, and you know the names that they're going up against. You got John Castaneda, who is taking on Daniel Santos, who is coming off of a loss, whereas Castaneda has beat Eddie Wineland and Miles John in his last two fights. One by KO, one by sub. So I'm taking John Castaneda, the sexy Mexi. That's the only time you'll ever hear me use that nickname. Fucking scrap it, bud. I hate it. Anyways, who gives a fuck? He's a favorite by just a little bit. He's a -220 favorite. Sadiq's coming back at +180, so 180% on your bet there if you were to go and try to fade me on picking Castaneda. But like I said, this is part of a parlay. It was going to be John Castaneda over Daniel Santos, and then it was going to be Rayoni Barcelos over Trevin Jones and Randy Brown over Francisco Trinaldo were the three fighters that I was picking. Those were the opponents that I was picking them against. The numbers that I got were +175, +174. But the number for Randy Brown was going opposite in the way that we want it to move in terms of the profitability, which does mean the smart money was coming in on Randy Brown, but it shifted the line 25 points between the time I looked between ESPN and Bovada. And it could just be because Bovada was showing different markets odds or something like that, but there was definitely 25 points of movement, and it was going, you know, making Randy Brown a bigger favorite there in this point of research. So I'd say he's got an 8-inch reach advantage. He's 6'3", taking on somebody who's 5'9", and at the welterweight division, this is about to be one of the biggest exposures. That's a 6-inch difference in height, an 8-inch difference in reach. Randy Brown, deadlock at -300. You'll only make a third of what you bet back if you were to straight bet Randy, but there you have it. And then, Rayoni Barcelos was the most even matchup on paper, but then you kind of think about it. It's Trevin Jones. This guy, I don't know, southpaw fighter facing off against Rayoni, who has only lost 3 times. The book is out there on a guy who's lost 8 times and Trevin, and I'm confident in that one. So, you know, I'm most confident in Randy Brown and Rayoni Barcelos, but, you know, I still say John Castaneda says he's got a lot to fight for. You see, if he goes and wins, he improves to 20-5 as a mixed martial artist as a whole. That brings his winning percentage up to that above that, you know, that 4/5 right there. And that's where, you know, he starts to maybe be able to gatekeep a little bit, pick his matchups a little bit more, and maybe, you know, he wants to fight the top of the top because that's what most of these fighters say. So hopefully that's what ends up happening if John Castaneda is able to – John Castaneda. And I'm probably butchering that so fucking bad knowing that it's a Brazilian – I think it's a is it a Brazilian name instead of – yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I'm probably butchering it either way. But that's three fight parlay. So, all three of them are above the cut line. In my opinion, if they lose, they're not getting cut. See, the fade me line would be Randy Brown's record goes to 15-5. Rayoni Barcelos' record would go to 16-4. John Castaneda's record would go to 19-6. If you faded me and it worked out for you, good, cool. Fuck you though. Seriously, if all three of them win, we're looking at 16-4 for Randy Brown. Rayony Barcelos is looking at 17-3, and John Castaneda is looking at 20-5. All of those very, very serviceable records to work with.
It's just one talking point to go along with it. It's like these guys aren't, you know, they're not on their way out by any means, and they've got a lot to fight for in terms of wanting to, you know, get the bonus money and you know, fight good, talk good, get paid more on the next go around.
With that said, I said I saw that 25 points in difference there that was opposing. I only call it opposing because the money was on our side, but it's closing our profits, so it's opposing. Castaneda's was a 2-point differential going ours. So on ours, I mean, you know, the money is drifting opposite, but it is a good time to look at your reasoning and why you're picking that fighter. And in my case, it's just simply namesake experience, things like that. They do factor in. Maybe somebody can talk me out of it and find maybe somebody more profitable to use in this parlay. Because I know I didn't get into the prelims whenever I was looking at it before going live, but I've got the entire main card here, all six fights. Opening up is going to be Mike Davis, who is 9-2, taking on Vyacheslav Borshev, who is 6-2. And Borshev is a +150 dog here. Davis, 175 favorite. That's a 25-point differential there. You see Vegas is cooking, trying to cook on these early opening fights. Then you got John Castaneda and Daniel Santos. Santos, +180 underdog. -220 favorite is John Castaneda. Castaneda has a 4-inch reach advantage despite being 1-inch shorter. John Castaneda fights out of the academy, whereas Daniel Santos fights out of Shootbox. Sadiq Youssef taking on Don Shaynus, and Shaynus is making his UFC debut. I believe it's his debut. He is 12-3 as a mixed martial artist. I think his former promotion was called Cage Titans. He is a +600 underdog taking on Sadiq. Sadiq, 12-2, -900 favorite. There's 300 points of differential there. Once again, Vegas is trying to cook on the early side here. Rayony Barcelos, it's not out of the ordinary for me to take the experienced fighter that is smaller in the bantamweight division, especially. He's only smaller in reach, 67-70-inch reach. Rayony, 16-3. Trevin, 13-8. We touched on it because he's part of the parlay. Randy Brown, 6'3", taking on Francisco Trinaldo. We also touched on the difference there. And 78-inch versus 70-inch reach. 60 points on the line was the difference in the margins to catch up. -300 for Randy Brown, +240 for Francisco Trinaldo. So maybe even more so than those first two is there the uncertainty of what could actually happen in the octagon. And that's kind of why I'm standing off of Youssef versus Shaynus. The uncertainty of what can happen, especially with it being a debuting fighter. Mackenzie Dern taking on Jan Juman. Is it Jan? Jan Junan. I don't know. Tried enough times, blew out your speakers probably, and got you yelled at by somebody. I'm trying to say it right, though. Both of these ladies have a 63-inch reach. Mackenzie, 5'4". Jan, 5'5". Jan's record, 13-3, with a +190 side underdog. You're looking at Mackenzie Dern, who is 12-2, -230 favorite. She's kind of a lay and pray grappler. Don't expect much fireworks for this being a main event, which is kind of like, darn it. I wish I could say that I could see this being some fireworks. You never know, though. You really never know. I'm still going to play favorites hard this week just because I think
We're kind of at that point in the year where the matchmaking is like, I could see why you're matching these people up, but it's not really, you know, there's no buzz, there's no excitement. Everybody's just everybody continues to ask me, when's O'Malley fighting? When's O'Malley fighting? So it's like, it's good that they're giving him Peter, but I might have to fade the fuck out your boy and my boy and all of our boy for real, because he puts up with so much fucking bullshit, and he's a really likable guy, is Sean O'Malley. I don't know. It's just a tough matchup, him and Peter Yan, and that's just no hard feelings, nothing about it. I don't know. But he does have that size difference like no other, like I was saying, for that bantamweight fight that's on the cards for this weekend between not bantamweight, it's the welterweight card, or welterweight fight on the card from this weekend. Sorry. Oh. Ugh. All right, well, that was like a one-breath intro right there. I don't really have much more on the paper to talk about. I was going to get to the NFL league leaders and statistics, things of that sort. But before we do that, let's take a trip down memory lane. When's maybe the last time we saw Yan fight, okay? She's lost her last two fights. One of them was a split decision to Marina Rodriguez. Some people saw that going Mina's way. Some people saw that going Yan's way. And she also lost by TKO to Carla Esparza. So it's like there's not, you know, anything elite about Yan's game. But Mackenzie Dern, like I said, kind of a lay and pray grappler. She also lost to Marina, and she's just, I don't know, she's typically complacent. If she can be a little bit more aggressive in her grappling, make the fight a little bit more exciting, I'm all for it. I think Mackenzie Dern is the winner in this one, though, so don't have to worry about me fading on somebody that I have supported through the last 8 fights of her career I have supported. So, and that's kind of crazy, but yeah. I saw, you know, the first one against Yoder, and, you know, it kind of like, I don't know, I don't know which way I was going, but anyways, we're going Mackenzie Dern, Randy Brown, Rayoni Barcelos. I'm going to actually flip what the public's thinking. I'm going to fade the biggest favorite on the card in Sadiq Youssef, probably a dumb mistake, but, especially cause we're giving size to Sadiq. But we'll go with Don Shaynus. And his UFC debut, it'd be wild. That's why we'll go with that, as our excuse. I'm not saying put anything on it. And then I'm taking John Castaneda over Daniel Santos. We talked about that. And I'm going to go with the public here. I'm going to go with Mike Davis over Vyacheslav Boshev, or whatever his name is. That's it for the main card. We'll do some prelim breakdown here once I get the fight wiki here. We got Alexei Oleinik taking on Ilir Latifi to close out the prelims on ESPN Plus. That's a pretty good matchup. Ilir is a very, very small but strong, compact heavyweight. He's, you know, going up against Alexei Oleinik, who is a much bigger 6'2" compared to 5'11", I believe, or 5'10" even is what Ilir is. And as a heavyweight, you know, that's like DC's height compared to John Jones almost. Maybe the same, maybe just an inch less of difference between the two. Ilir, 15-8, veteran of the sport. He's coming off of a split decision win against Tanner Boser this past June. And We've got him taking on Alexei Olenek, who is coming off of a win against Jared Vandera, where he got him in a hard scarf and made him tap. So he won. Did he go to sleep or did he tap? I'm not sure. Got him in that hard scarf. Anyways, if this fight, you know, I'm kind of shocked that Alexei Olenek is still here. He's had 77 professional fights in his life. He's won 47 of those by submission. So it just goes to show you, you know, there's definitely the staples in this sport. He's been in the UFC since 2014. Before that, he had a long run starting back in 1996. So, it'd be nice to see him get a win over a guy like Ilir Latifi as well, who kind of like was on the fast track there for a little while, gets humbled and whatnot. I'll go ahead and I'll say I'm going to take the younger fighter, the smaller fighter as well, just based on, you know, the need to compete. And that wasn't this past June. This was 2021, June of 2021. When he beat Tanner Boser. So that rust, you know what, with that rust, we're going to go with the old man, the old Russian Alexei Olenek. We will take him. Then there's Jessica Penny versus Tabitha Ricci, Jessica Penny. Let me close out my last thought there on, Alexei Olenek. He's from the Ukrainian Soviet Union. He's not from Russia. So that, sorry for that mistake there. I'm going to roll the ad real quick because I just fucking ummed you guys for about like 3.5 minutes trying to dig some dirt on this next segment. Thank you for sticking around after the advertisement. So we're going to get into that fight. And we're going to get into the mathematics behind my decision to have to pick the three fighters that I picked for the parlay and, reasons why, you know, I am, you know, I'm selling myself on it. I'm trying to sell myself on it enough to get me to go to the book and place the fucking bet. Anyways, Tabitha Ricci is going to be taking on Jessica Penny. Tabitha is 7-1 in mixed martial arts. Her last three fights in the UFC. The three fights before that were in the LFA, so she's fought the best of the best. Her only loss is to Manon Farreau, and she's coming off of a UD versus Pollyanna Viana. Whereas you look on the other side, Jessica Penne, she is coming off of a loss, but she was on back-to-back wins right before that in 2021. She had a good year, but she's going to be looking to get back into the winning column this year. She is a veteran of the sport with a professional record of 14 wins and 6 losses. She, you know, like I said, lost to Emily Ducati in her last time out, but beat Carolina Kovalkovic. I always fuck it up. Carolina Kovalkovic, I believe, is how you say it. And she also beat Lupita Gudinez, as well in 2021. So, in her last three, she's 2-1, one decision win, one submission win, and one decision loss. It's very evenly matched. That should be a good actual matchup there on the prelims. We've got Joaquin Silva taking on Jesse Ronson, Christoph Jocko taking on Brandon Allen, Maxim Grishin taking on Felipe Lenz, Leah Letson taking on Chelsea Chandler, Guido Canetti taking on Randy Costa. Prelims are pretty lit. It's going to be a big day for the UFC. For some reason, somebody decided to schedule me to work this weekend, and I don't do weekends for work. It's kind of been my policy for a long time since I started this podcast. I kind of need these days free so I can talk about the fights and things like that with you guys and enjoy the discussion on Twitter, grow the network, and this network is only going to grow further as I am going back to school, going to develop some relationships, hopefully business-wise, some business sense, get some smarts in me, because with just a little bit of know-how, I could do a whole lot more with this podcast, and I want you guys to all be a part of it. I want you to subscribe, hit that noty bell, do whatever it is. It really helps to leave a review on whatever platform you are watching or listening on. Listening platforms are mainly the ones that have the review system. Give us a 5 or 10 star, whichever one is the highest. And yeah, so the mathematics now of how I arrived to picking those three fights on the main card to target, if I was going to target three fights on the main card for a parlay. Randy Brown is a negative 300 favorite. I've seen him as high as negative 325. Rayony Barcelos is a negative 220 favorite. And so is John Castaneda, a negative 220 favorite. You add those together, 300, 220, 220, you get 740. You can leave the negative out for this situation. I decided to put them in as winners and see what I could return on the money line. Would be plus 174. So the difference there, or you add the difference there, which is 740 plus 174 is 914. Then you do, you know, total of fighters picked, 740 out of total available, 914. 80.96% chance. And it's higher than that if we were to actually add the 25 points to Randy Brown that shifted whenever I was kind of in the observation period and doing the math. As low as 80.96%, as high as, I don't know, 89.5% is what I'd say as far as locking this baby up for a 3-5 parlay. Really going to be rooting for Brown, Castaneda, and Barcelos. Haven't talked this shit on my podcast. I don't really care about camps, teams, loyalties, trusts, things like that when it comes down to it. This is just good old-fashioned fight night fighting. I think there's some good matchups on the prelims that you're not going to want to miss. And if you do miss them, you're going to want to rewatch them or have somebody that knows how to explain them explain it. Or just be goofy with it, like how most people, like most casual fans are. Just do not get sucked into the conspiracy realm of mixed martial arts. It's not, it's a far out realm. It really is. Yeah. I guess we can go into the conspiracy realm of football. No, we did that last week. I won't do that to you guys again. I just fast talked my way through the entire episode last week, kind of the way that I'm fast talking my way through this episode because I'm, you know, going back to school, having to be more concise with my time, and I don't have time to edit, period. Point blank, I just don't, unless it's for a project for a friend. I just mainly cannot find the time to do any sort of work outside of this podcast, outside of my job, and outside of what I do for some of my friends that make music. I don't have a whole lot of time to meander about, to waste like some people do on social media and things like that. I have been gaining followers just from, you know, using the spaces properly, not interrupting people and not talking over people. And also, whenever you get a good point, don't get too fucking passionate about it because you look like a dork. I always look like a dork in almost anything that I do because I get a heavy heart over fucking shit that's stupid to most people. But that's my axe to carry. That's also my axe to grind, because I want to keep that motherfucker sharp. All right. So, yeah, the biggest news from this weekend, I guess we've touched bases on most of the stuff that we need to be prepared for this coming weekend. I will do probably one more NFL-centric episode of the podcast. Either expect to see that Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. If we're going to do a predictions episode for that, I will tweet that out at Talk More Sports on Twitter. You already know that. Yeah, so biggest things we covered. Chiefs lose. Tom Brady loses to Aaron. Mizzou loses to Auburn. There's some Luther Burden drama now with him taking his stuff off of Instagram. The freshman running back that fumbled on the goal line, and that's not him. That's somebody else, but that resulted in a touchback. I wonder if it has something to do with the way that was received by coaches and by fans, and if, you know, Luther's just uncomfortable with being a Tiger now at this point, and maybe he can be talked into staying. Never know. Haven't seen anything or heard anything yet, but I'm about to go hop in my truck and the radio will be on. I'll figure probably hear CDOT talking a little bit about that. Carrington Harrison, CDOT, the local radio Mizzou shill. Always loving what they're talking about on 610. We talked UFC, NFL. We can go over a little bit more in a little bit more detail some of the stats now. Josh Allen's leading the league in yardage with a 9-2 touchdown to interception ratio, which is the second best in the league as well. Second best to Lamar, who's got that 10-2. Tua Tagovailoa with 72 completions, just a lot less in the amount of completions, but 8 touchdowns to 2 picks, 117.8 QBR, sitting higher than Josh Allen now after defeating them. 9.2 yards per attempt puts him in second to Jalen Hurts among starting quarterbacks in the NFL in yards per attempt. Justin Herbert is he's ailing a little bit. He didn't seem to play like his full self on Sunday. I'm looking for their total yardage, and they're at 910 total passing yards for the season, 7.2 yards per attempt, 0.7 yards per attempt behind Mahomes. Mahomes is throwing it at a over 1.5% higher tick than Herbert. 8 touchdowns to 1 pick. Obviously, he's got one of the hardest balls to catch in the league. He throws with so much velocity. You can say this, that, and the other about dropped interceptions, but it's not horseshoes and hand grenades. It's football. I'm sure you've heard that one if you've stayed around the game for long enough. Surprisingly enough, sitting there in the sixth spot for yardage is or for the fifth spot for yardage is still Joe Flacco with the Jets. You know, he's not nothing special, but sitting top 10 in yards. We'll continue to go over this. Carson Wentz, 861 yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 picks. He's playing absolutely lights out football for what he's been asked to do. Jameis Winston, 858 yards, 4 touchdowns and 5 picks. It's having the makings of a classic Tampa Bay Jameis season. Not a fan of what I'm seeing out of Jameis this season. Still, he's throwing for one more yard than my team's quarterback, who is everybody creams their pants over and thinks is just lightning in a bottle. And that's no disrespect to Patrick Mahomes. It's just the fucking aura around him is getting a little bit much to handle. Nobody is above criticism in this world. I'm not going to be a harsh critic or anything. I just think there's some things, this receiving core, they're young. He needs to be the leader. He needs to step up, needs to have his voice heard. And this back and forth between him and the offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, is starting to drive me nuts a little bit. Me and one of my friends been talking for a long time. We think, you know, Bieniemy was re-signed by the front office, but I'm not necessarily sold that Andy really, really wants or needs him there to do what he's doing. I'm not saying he's dividing the locker room or anything like that. I think he's probably a much more relatable guy than Andy Reid is. But when it comes down to like play calling and on the field on game day, he needs to know he's not even number two. Number two on game day is Spags. Number three is Mahomes, and he's probably the number four guy in terms of the importance of the entire operation. Yeah, that's what I got on that drama. Yeah, if it wasn't for the Green Bay Packers, my football weekend was, I'll draw it for you. Straight fucking, woo! Remember when fucking Wile E. Coyote used to drop that anvil or whatever the fuck he would drop? He'd try to drop it on the Roadrunner? Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what my football weekend did. It was that fucking doing what that anvil did. Just fucking sink to the fucking bottom of Earth. That's it for this week's episode of the Roundtable Sports Podcast. This weekend, we have got some fights. We've got some good football games. I want to fucking cook this weekend is what I want to do. And I mean that in two ways. I want to cook some good-ass food and watch some fights. And I also, I want to cook the motherfucking sports book. Follow me on that three-leg parlay for the UFC fight night. There are three fights that are on the main card. There are three favorites. It's always scary when you're betting on three guys that are supposed to get the job done. But we'll see. I'm staying off of the newcomer. The debut and Sheamus, we're staying off of that fight, despite that being the biggest opportunity for return on investment on the card. Looking ahead, I mean, we might as well just continue on and do this at this point so I don't have to do another episode. Looking ahead to next week's matchups, we still got Monday Night Football tonight between the Giants and Cowboys. I see that one kind of going the Giants' way, to be honest with you. And if it does, it's a swing game that's kind of more along the lines of a lot of people didn't see the Giants as a 2-0 team, potentially being 3-0 if they can beat my boo-boo hurts Cowboys team. Fucking, they can do it. They certainly can tonight. And then, of course, I'm trying to find this on the NFL website, and you got to go all the way back to the top. All the way back to the top. So to start off, Thursday night football for next week is between the 3-0 Dolphins and the 1-2 Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals, they came into the season, their fans were riding really high from what they did last year, of course, making it to all the way to the Super Bowl and losing. They gained a lot of fans in doing so. The lovable losers, this, that, the other, doesn't really fucking matter to me. Miami Dolphins on the road. Big road test for them. Bengals should be a playoff caliber team. Whether or not they can win the division is still up in the air. I'll go Bengals to win their second game of the season and take the Dolphins 0 on Thursday night. Vikings, 2-1 taking on the Saints, who are 1-2. The Vikings secondary is always tricky to play against, especially with the veteran Harrison Smith, if he's healthy and he's going. And then the mid-level of the field, it's hard to throw to because they've had a tremendous locker room on that side of the field that's kind of built into the identity of the team that is the Minnesota Vikings. Taking on the Saints, who, if they don't get in their emotions, maybe beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a couple weeks ago, but yesterday ago. But like I said, Jameis, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions already to start this year. Secondary's pretty hot in Minnesota. Hand that ball off, tote the rock with Dalvin Cook, find Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson when need be. Bang. As long as Kirk Cousins doesn't create mistakes, the Vikings win. That is going to be overseas, it looks like, as it's starting at 8:30 in the morning in my time. Noon games, we have Browns, and they're taking on the Falcons, so it's an 11 o'clock game here for the East Coast folks. You already know the fucking drill. Bills at Ravens, also at noon. Commanders at Cowboys, noon. Seahawks at Lions, noon. Chargers at Texans, noon. Titans at Colts, noon. Bears at Giants, noon. Jaguars at Eagles, noon. Jets at Steelers, noon. All right. NFL must really hate us because the 325 block has only got 3 games. It's Cardinals, Panthers, Patriots, Packers, and Broncos, Raiders. The game that I care to watch the most out of those is not the one that you'd be thinking. I'd care to watch, to be honest with you, for the playoff implications for both of these teams, the Cardinals and Panthers, both of them being 1-2 teams, both of them having backdoor chances for wild cards, not really being seen as teams that can, guys that can win the division. So let's go back to the Nooners. Browns at Falcons. I'll take the Browns. Bills at Ravens. I'll go Ravens. I'll go John Harbaugh and the Ravens. Commanders, Cowboys. So I'm going to give the Cowboys an L to the Giants tonight, depending on the health of Dak Prescott. Sunday, bounce back. I don't know. It's a fucking thumb injury. We'll see what's going on with it. Bounce back against the Commanders. They could do it, but also, same time, I don't know much about the Commanders' defense except for they got Chase Young up front, and De'Ron Payne, I believe, is still up front for him as well. Fuck it. I'll say the Cowboys lose to the Giants, but watch out. Next Sunday, they'll come back and on a shortened week, beat the Commanders. Seahawks at Lions. I'm going Seahawks in this one. Despite, you know, wanting the Lions to win, I got to stick with the team that I'm using. I am a Seahawks user this year in Madden, so I'm picking the Seahawks. I'll probably pick them 17 weeks in a row. Chargers at Texans. Unless they're playing Arizona, I'm not picking them. Chargers at Texans. Chargers by a country mile. Titans, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback. Chargers by a country mile. Titans at Colts. And that's how I put a hex on you. Titans at Colts. The 1-1-1 Colts versus the 1-2 Titans. Hillard didn't do shit for me this past week in DFS. Blew all my profits from week one, or from what was my week one in DFS, but week two to everybody else. Neither did Clyde. Clyde did not jack shit either. So I picked 2 really shitty running backs and cost myself in DFS this week. I'm not going to let it bias me. The Colts are not a good football team. They got very lucky to beat my Kansas City Chiefs. The Tennessee Titans are a team that knows them all too well. I'm going to pick the Tennessee Titans to win that one. The Chicago Bears. The Bears taking on the New York Giants. The G-men, I have them winning tonight. If they win tonight, they build some momentum. And as much as I want to say Bear Down here, the G-men get it done against the Bears next week on Sunday, regardless of result from Monday night tonight. Jaguars at Eagles. I'm going to stick with the AFC in this matchup. The Jaguars, they're out to prove everybody that they are not who we thought they were. And everybody's been letting them off the hook through 3 weeks. But this team is not who we thought they were. They're much better. I kind of could judge this just knowing they have Etienne, familiar face in the backfield, to go along with James Robinson, who is solid can be in terms of short yardage and when you need to use a guy like that. Reminds me of an old back named Cadillac Williams. You probably heard of him. Just not quite as boisterous a name or illustrious of a college career-wise, maybe. But Jaguars, Eagles, I'm going to take the Jags. I'm going to take the AFC. Nick Sirianni's squad's going to have their zero taken at some point in time. Sorry to the Eagles fans. It's a home game. I know you guys want your half-price D'Alessandros. You're not getting it. The Jaguars are not going to allow you to have your half-price cheesesteaks. Jets at Steelers. I'm going with the Steelers. God damn it. Mike Tomlin got a little bit too carried away before halftime this past week. I saw him getting a little too vibing with the tribe with his defensive players, and boom, they flat out fucking killed the game. Cardinals, and so that's why I'm taking them to bounce back. It's the fucking Jets. They bounce back. They're the Steelers. Play like the Steelers. The Jets play like the Jets. There's no issues. There's a winner in Pittsburgh this upcoming weekend, hopefully. Cardinals at Panthers. Matt Rhule versus Cliff Kingsbury. Or it's not even Matt Rhule anymore. It's fucking whoever the fuck's in Carolina now versus Cliff. I'll go ahead and take the Arizona Cardinals to win on the road with Kyler Murray at quarterback. We'll go ahead and take the Arizona Cardinals. We're like a month away from not being able to take the Cardinals on the road, period, because Call of Duty's out. We know what that does to Kyler. So we're going to go ahead and take the Cardinals wins while we got them. While we got them in the bag, let's go ahead and take them. We'll beat the Panthers and move on. Patriots at Packers. You're going to come to Lambeau Field, Bill. You're going to come to Lambeau Field and try to beat the squad? This guy kind of pisses you off, doesn't he? Aaron Rodgers. He kind of pisses Bill Belichick off. Coming out there in his number 12 and talking his shit to the media and not really giving a fuck about it. Not being a protector of the shield or got a protector of the locker room, this, that, and the other. Sorry, he's not a fucking boring-ass robot like you. Sorry, he likes to live his life and speak his mind, Bill. I seriously think Bill's mind is just like fucking, you remember them old paperbacks that make you read in grade school that were just like printed by the teachers? His mind must be just that with football plays, and that's all it is. Packers by 9.5 or more. I'm saying double-digit Packer win. Broncos at Raiders. Now, the Packers offense didn't have any rhythm last week, but defense was hot. So they're going to be going up against, you know, somebody who's got to use all the tools in their tool belt to win in the Patriots squad. I'm going Packers by 10+. And I wrote the death sentence right there. Broncos at Raiders. Two teams that I fucking despise. I don't like them. I'd rather the Broncos be 2-2 and the Raiders be 1-4 than the Raiders be 0-4 and the Then the Broncos be 3-1 and the Raiders be 0-4. I'd rather it be 1-3 and 2-2. Yeah. I did too much calculations. I even got a percentage for you guys on that parlay. So math in my brain is just like blah right now. I'm gonna go with the Broncos. I think it's a smart play here. Raiders still haven't shown shit except for outside of week one. They were like, oh, we can score. And then second half rolls around. Oh, we can't fucking score. They made adjustments. Yeah. But it'll be tough with the Raiders. The Raiders at home. Las Vegas. They're inside the Death Star. I don't know. And then the Sunday night football game, which is nice. Nice to have a Sunday night football game. Got an NBC and Universal for our Hispanic watchers and viewers of the game. Our Latino viewers of the game. The Peacock or Universal NBC. We've got the 2-1 Chiefs taking on the 2-1 Bucks at the Bucks place where the pirate ship is. And that pirate ship is going to be fucking, they're going to be throwing people overboard whenever Mahomes is fucking putting passes that got the fucking, got suppressive damage on the corners and safeties out there. Fucking taking their heads off with just straight up suppression from the fucking velocity he throws with. I got the Chiefs. I don't got them by a whole lot of confidence, but I got them by 3.5. All right. And now we can do the Lord's Prayer and pray for our best players, our favorite players' health. We'll see. As they say in this business, the proof is in the pudding. This has been another wonderful long rant on the Roundtable Sports Podcast. Gave you the predictions for week 4 of the NFL. Broke down a 3-fight parlay. Gave you that 80.96% at the lower end of the spectrum in terms of percentiles we're working with. And that'll be it. That will be it for today's episode of the podcast. Thank you all for listening. And if you viewed on YouTube, if you stuck around and hung out, drop a comment, say what's up. I'll probably be in here until this shit's officially uploaded to Spotify.